Now turn to Ephesians. Chapter 4, verse 17. So I tell you this, and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity with a continued lust for more. You, however, did not come to know Christ that way. Surely you heard of him and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you're still angry. And do not give the devil a foothold. He who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with his own hands, that he may have something to share with those in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you are sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. This is indeed the word of the Lord. So he says, there in verse 22, about putting off and putting on. So your husband, if you've got one, takes you up to London to a shop and says, buy whatever coat you want. You go into the Burberry shop and you come out indeed with those fashion items that fit you so well. You get it home, you try it on again, you sort of preen yourself down, don't you? You know how wonderful that you look and how obviously loving your husband has been to you. Next morning you get up and there's your old coat, but there's your new coat. But you look out and it's raining and it's grey. Which coat do you go to wear? As Paul talks to the churches around Ephesus, he encourages them to be clothed in the righteousness of Christ, if you like, to put on the new coat of Christianity. One that they can indeed find comfortable, good for them, and allows them to go out there into that rain or grey day. But he writes these verses in a contrast to the things that aren't so good. He talks to them about that world being dark. Indeed, we all know the goodness when we feel the spring sunshine keeping the daylight hours going longer. But there is a spiritual darkness. In verse 18 and 19, it says, having lost all sensitivity, they've given themselves over. Why? Because They like the darkness, darkened in their understanding. We may think, well, that's talking about some aspects of our world where there's misuse of our world and there's a darkness. But actually, it seems to have gone into the church there. Because he goes on to talk about some of the aspects whereby they're showing that they are still not allowing the light to penetrate every aspect of their living. Now, we all know that in the last year or two, the issue of safeguarding hasn't just become an academic we need to be careful, but needs to be addressed because of the way that evil of the misuse of bodies, or the way that some people have been bullying to others or put themselves on others, have done so much damage. Yesterday I was involved with a lady who comes to our church, and her husband regularly beats her. And the vicar is doing a marvelous job, but between us, we're trying to say, how can we in reality help this person get her out from the awfulness that she's going through? Now, it's one thing to acknowledge it. I think we also need to pray for those who are at the forefront of all this. The questions I put on the back, they're not necessary for us to talk about today, but you could do. But pray for Andy, who goes to some churches where, for example, the question four will be having to be addressed in different churches. At what point does something that's happened in the darkness mean to be exposed to the light, maybe of care, council, church meeting, or police or higher? Pray for those who are involved in Church of England leadership, because it certainly dominated them in recent synod discussions. The old coat of trying to be good doesn't always keep us warm from the cold winds that come, and it's dark out there. It's also deceitful. Put off falsehood. Put off falsehood. Verse 29 goes on, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths. When we use that expression deceitful, it's easier for us to say they are doing that wrong. Gets a little bit more difficult when we say you are not doing it well. And we always say, oh, speaking to you in love, I just want to tell you that I don't like what you're doing or whatever. Harder still, I suggest to you, for us as individuals to have the courage and say, I'm struggling with this. I'm not sure how to pray anymore. I'm not sure where God is in my life at the moment. That's a truth that I think will help the truthfulness of the church to say it as it is. The deceitful answer is saying, oh no, I'm fine. Or we express it in terms of doing damage to others by saying you or they. The world may cover itself with defensiveness and trying to be indeed above what they are. It's deceitful, it's dark, it's deceitful. It's also destructive. Verse 26, being made new in the attitude of your minds. In your anger, do not sin. So I sometimes say to my dear wife, right? Much easier when we get angry with each other in the winter. Because you see, the sun goes down at 4 o'clock then, isn't it? And we can sort it out then, can't we? Okay? Because it goes on saying that do not let the sun go down while you're still angry. A bit harder in the summer. Now it's not talking about a time restriction. And there is a place for righteous anger. There is a place for us to indeed be angry at some of the things that's happening in our world. one of the books that totally grabbed me, and I recommend it to you. I bought it when it was on offer, but it's well worth whatever, by Pope Francis, called Hope. And yes, it's his autobiography, but it's so much more, and you'll see by the number of things that I can quote him on. It's an inspiring book. Here's one who talks about into the Ukraine situation. He himself has some clear things to say in it, but I've given you a quote in that. He says, "We must cultivate the certainty that every seed of peace will bear its fruit in the same way that every action of war, even the war of words, distances the moment in which justice and peace will kiss. But we all have to be careful, because the anger that sometimes we feel or shouldn't feel, if we let it go deep, becomes bitterness." Nelson Mandela came out from his period of confinement. What an example he set of Christian faith. He came out and he was saying, "I came out through the door towards the gate that would lead to getting out of the prison. But I knew that I had to leave my hatred and my anger, no, my hatred or my bitterness inside, else I would be forever in that prison." It's dark, it's deceitful, it's destructive, that world, whereby we want to wear the world's coat. But it's depressing, unless we go on and realize what Christ drapes around us, his holiness and his love. "Live a life of love," it says, "just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us." There on the cross, he took the accusations. There on the cross, he took the nails. There on the cross, he took the worst that people could throw at him. So no matter what our sin, in effect, still throws that way, Christ loves us enough, as demonstrated on that cross. And that's where I think we need to go on. If I'd had time, I'd read more of chapter 5, where there, again, there's some more explanations of the dark, deceitful, destructive world. But then he says, husbands, head of the wife, etc., etc. So the church submits to Christ. So why should submit to their husband? Oh, my word. I'll let you discuss that one, okay? And then you'll get your new coat, wives. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church. Husbands, love your wives. I set up a bit of a problem for my wife and one or two of her friends recently. Because I've said to them, I said, I've reversed this verse, okay? And I've actually said to a couple of these lovely ladies I know so well, describe to me the perfect husband. Okay? That's an interesting question to have over lunch. Okay? Right? Describe to me the perfect husband. Is it one who puts the top on the toothpaste or takes the rubbish out? Okay? And it's been very interesting. After the kind of joking, but actually there's characteristics in or to be explored. Said to me, it's someone who understands me. And that's an example. We know we don't, as men in our marriage, we don't make that perfection. But as a perfect husband will support and encourage and be there for his wife. So Christ understands, is there. And here for us now, understanding our world, but coming to put around us the cloak of his love, that I think we'll have many colours because we're all different, as all churches are different, but he comes to give us that we can wear with such a sense of joy. And maybe even pride in his love for us that we don't deserve. Man was playing golf. They went to the golf clubhouse afterwards. put his phone down so that they could enjoy the occasion. One, two phones there. Put his phone down. Phone started buzzing. Went and picked it up. And people listening in. And he says, yes, dear, of course you can have that new coat. Go and buy a brand new top-of-the-range handbag as well. No, I don't mind at all. Honestly, go and do it. Puts the phone down. And then he calls out, does anyone know whose phone this is? Well, I've just been talking to someone. Here we have gifts of his love. He comes to wrap himself around us. Therefore, don't let the world squeeze you into its mould.